Now I'm going to try and transition into this vision series. What it really is on my heart is to be part of more of just that, of being a part of God's family, of seeing people come to the Lord, being one to the Lord, become disciples of Christ, and follow Him, and love each other in deep fellowship that goes beyond just, hey, how you doing? It really does. When the Spirit of God lives in us, our relation goes to just exponentially to another level. It's different. We're not just associated. We're brothers. We're knit together by the blood of Christ. And that is profound. And we continue on now. This is part five of our vision series for the Provo location, for the core, for the group of people that we call ourselves the brothers and sisters of Provo, of Utah County. God's planted this church, and He's put it on our hearts to run hard for Him, and we have, and we will continue to do that, and we're excited to do that. And sometimes we just wonder, what is going on here? And it's God's at work. And it doesn't always look exactly like we think it should. In fact, most of the time it doesn't. God leads us and directs us, and we can trust His Spirit to do that. So this is part five, and really the last part, and I'm just going to kind of quickly go through a few things. From Proverbs, you know, it's important that we have a vision, that we hear from the Lord, so we can kind of communicate to the church, well, this is where we think God's leading us. We've sought counsel, we're trusting God, this is where we trust God is leading this group. Jesus is our pastor, and we trust this is where He's directing us. But I like this verse in Proverbs. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The people are unrestrained. In another version, it says the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We're unrestrained. So we need to hear from the Lord as a group of believers together. And collectively, as we seek Him, we ask Him to lead us. And I trust He's doing that. And with this series, as we kick off the year at all of our locations, each location, we pretty much have the kind of the same vision of win, build, send, win the lost, win people that don't know the Lord to Christ, be a part of building them up and growing in Christ. And then collectively, where God leads, we send the sanctified. Kind of what we just experience. We send the sanctified. The people go to different places to be used by God, and we get to be a part of that. Ultimately, this church, we want to plant more churches. That's our heart, that this would grow and multiply together. Maybe we'd be more churches in Utah County, about Spanish Fork or Orem or St. George. Who knows where God might move next? But you need to know at this church, we're trusting God's going to grow and multiply and do more. And each one of you is a part of that. And I'm thankful for that I get to be a part of that too. First part of the series, we kind of took a look back. It's fun to look at pictures and inspect the fruit, if you will. Hundreds, if not thousands of people have come to know Jesus over the last 15 years that the Rock Church has been in Utah. Hundreds have been baptized. Sometimes you almost don't see the forest for the trees. I personally have been a part of that, and I've seen it. It's just incredible. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, this is not normal. This is supernatural. This is divine. God is moving. And that many people to get saved and get baptized, God is moving. So we're a part of something where it's supernatural. It's God is moving. And I don't want to be a part of man-made stuff myself. I want to be a part of what God's doing. When we look back and say, you know what, there's over 1,000 people going to the different Rock churches because God is moving. Not because we have these great small groups and we're so cool, we have a new building in Draper, all that fits together, but ultimately God is moving. In humility, we just receive that and say, all right, God is moving. I'm a part of that. I get to be a part of that. And that's what I talked about, the vehicle. I really... In that portion of this series, I just talked about the wind, build, send. I see that as the vehicle, God's church. That's how God is growing. That's how His kingdom is advancing, His church and you and I, the people together. He is moving. And Brent last week or a couple weeks ago talked about managing money God's way. And Brent, I haven't told you this yet, but I've had a lot of conversations, and most of the conversations were, it was if God was talking directly to me and it wasn't Brent. I love it when people say that. It's like God was really talking to my heart. Well, good. I'm glad that God was speaking to your heart and that you might receive that and grow, because that's a good thing. And last week, I just talked about some principles in trusting God in our giving, just really some biblical principles and what that looks like. And that brings us to this morning, where I just want to talk about make disciples. And this is a big topic. So this morning, we're just going to kind of skim the surface of what this really encapsulates. So, you know, down through the centuries, Matthew 28:19, chapter 28, verse 19, it's been come to be known as the Great Commission. That's what these verses have been come to know. Jesus came to his disciples. Remember, he was crucified for the sins of the world. He paid the sin debt with his blood. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was crucified for our sin debt. Rose from the dead. There was a resurrection. And then he came to us. He came to the disciples. And he was with them. And he taught them some very important things. And just before he ascended, this is the charge that he gives. Just before Jesus ascended back to be with the Father, just before he ascended, this is his directive. And go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Really, this is the Great Commission. Our mantra, if you will, our movement of churches, our association of churches, we've decided to name it Great Commission Churches. This verse, we feel this is, God not only gave this to the disciples, this is God's word, and we've received it for ourselves that this is our charge. Go and make disciples, that's what God's called us to do. That's what our life is to be a part of. So we're excited about that, and it's what I want to do with the rest of my days. Now, any good Bible study or any good looking at God's word, it comes from examining his word. And when you see that, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then what is there? It's a comma. There's more. God has more for us. And this is the verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, in verse 19, Jesus gave us the assignment. Go and make disciples. And he continues on, baptizing them and teaching them. There's a role that we have. There's a role that God gives us, baptizing them and teaching them. God wants us to go and be a part of what he's doing. It really is talking about the growing Christian. Are you learning and are you growing? That's the next step. Are you growing? Are you a part of a group of Christians that's helping you grow in your walk with the Lord? So making disciples is, it's growing. We look at the verb translated as make disciples. It's a methodo. It's the best way I can pronounce that. It's probably pronounced different. But what it really refers to, it's beautifully complex. It's carrying more meaning than simply accumulating converts. What really what you're talking about here is, more importantly, really, it communicates the idea of the learning believer. Of not only certainly people getting saved and coming to know the Lord, that's huge. We are part of that. That's part of the making disciples. But a learning believer, that's someone who is growing in the faith and his love for the Lord. Growing in their faith and our love for the Lord. In essence, that is exactly what we want for our church. We want people to come to know the Lord. We want them to grow and live the full life that Jesus has promised. And we believe that's what we're a part of. So today I just want to talk quickly about two essentials for making disciples. His word, His way. If you don't remember anything else, that's what I want to communicate this morning. His word, His way. We're making disciples. His word, His way. So, let's take a minute here, and I'm just going to pray one more time before we get going. Lord, I'd ask you to pray with me. Lord, I love you. I need you. We need you. So I just, these next few minutes, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted with maybe the things that might be on our mind from yesterday or even this morning. Lord, we want our eyes to be on you. We're going to look at your Bible, God, your word. You will speak to us, God. Your word is so precious to me, God. I thank you for it. Thank you that you don't hide things from us, Lord, that you want us to know you. You want us to hear from you. So I pray this morning that would be the case, that we would hear from you and we would grow. We would know you a little bit more intimately. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So his word, his way. Those are just the two points I want to talk about. Really, his word. And as we come to know the Lord, we know that Jesus is the only way. You don't work our way to heaven. It's through faith in Jesus. Jesus is the one way. And he has a relationship with us. It's available to us to where he wants us to have relationships so that we can hear from him every single day. That's real. It's vibrant. It's not just an idea or a faith system. It's real. That we have conversation with God, that He leads us, and he directs us, and he protects us. I like this verse from John 8:31. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." First point is just that's that you have to have his word. Need to be in his word. You know, and John even describes himself as the word. But I want to just talk about the Bible. At this church, we believe the Bible is true. We believe it doesn't need help. It doesn't need any more. That this is the scripture and that we come under the authority of the Bible, of God's word. And we're trying to follow that together. And each one of us is having a conversation with God. Or at least we can have. It's available if we choose to. Grow and have that. And I don't know about you, but I need that. I want that. I'm desperate for that. And apart from that, things don't go well for me. I need the Lord, and I think we all do. I like this verse from John. It says, "Jesus answered him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.'" In essence, he says, "If you love me and keep my word, I will dwell in you and among you." That is the relationship that I'm talking about. If you love me, that's what he's telling us. If anyone loves me, is that your response to God? He will keep my word. You know, this morning I read in my quiet time in Proverbs 1, verse 33, it says, "He who listens to my word shall live securely. He who listens to my word shall live securely, and he will be at ease from the dread of evil." Is that you? You feel secure this morning? You feel like, yeah, I got it. You feel secure? The way we can feel secure is in Christ, in his word. You feel secure in Christ. Like in Romans, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." I just want to build a case for God's word and how desperate we need to understand that we need the Lord. We need him. We need that relationship. He talks to us in relationship. I like this quote from Sam Storms, who's a pastor and a theologian. He says, "Jesus himself clearly believed in the inspiration and authority of Scripture. Being a disciple of Jesus entails not only doing what Jesus did, but also believing what Jesus believed. It's impossible to accept the authority of Christ without also accepting the authority of Scripture. To believe and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior is to believe and receive what he taught about Scripture. And I believe that. There's some verses that back that up. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do you feel equipped this morning? You feel equipped for everything that might be coming your way, everything that you might be dealing with this morning. All Scripture is God-breathed. And when I refer to Scripture, I'm talking about the Bible, God's Word, the Bible alone. And we can count on it. Like what it says there, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible is our light in a dark place. It is our guide and our moral and spiritual compass. It just is. Here's what Job had to say. Remember Job, the prophet Job? The things that he went through were incredible. None of us will go through anything even near or close to what Job went through. Here's what Job had to say. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Now, for Job to be able to continually be in relationship with God, to come out on the other side, all the things that he went through, you think he could have done that apart from God? No. There's no way. That's the only way Job could have made it through all the things he did, and I believe that. Like what it says in the psalm, the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," in Psalm 119:105. You know, have you ever been in a pitch dark situation? Maybe you were camping or something, and you had to make your way to the toilets, and you didn't have a flashlight. You ever done that in a really dark night, or you wake up in your room and the electricity's off? We don't suffer with that quite as much here in the United States. We have pretty dependable electricity, but in some countries, like I've been in Mexico before, it goes off every day. It's just poor. But have you ever been in the dark and it's like, oh man, I can't find whatever I'm looking for? And you might maybe have a flashlight, and a flashlight's like a lamp. It leads you, it directs you where you need to go, and that's your word is a lamp. It directs us. It does. In Matthew, Jesus says, "But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God.'" You know, have you personally committed to God? You know, probably 15 years ago for me, I think, was when I made up my mind that I was going to be reading God's word every day. I made up my mind. I was at a conference, and I was really convicted by what God spoke to me through the person who was teaching, and I made a commitment. I said, "God, as much as it is up to me," I prayed to God. I said, "I am going to do whatever I can," because the person speaking actually said that he had made a promise to God that he was going to try and be in his word and prayer every day for the rest of his life. So I did that. I said, "Lord, you know, as much as it is up to me, every single day while I'm alive, I think I get it, Lord. I think I understand that apart from you, I can do nothing, and I want your best. I am going to be in your word and pray every day." And there's very few times, and I've been through some things in the last 15 years. Oh, boy. But there are very few times that I can remember where I didn't pick up my Bible, or a Bible, if I didn't have my Bible with me. You know, they're available all over the place. That I wasn't in God's Word. And I'm not boasting. That's not my point here. There's a lifeline there. Do you get it? There's a lifeline there. Because apart from my king, I'm like a balloon that... That's about the best example I can come up with. It's just... And, you know, for us, man, that's right where we get attacked. Pure and simple devotion to Christ. It's like the blood in our veins. The anxiousness, the different things, the fear of man, I don't know how to pay my bills. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't have a home. I don't know about this. I don't know about my health. I don't know about my friends. I don't know if people like me. I don't know if my hair is just right. I don't know. God. I read God's word, and he just takes that away. It's the answer. His word. His way. My goodness. It's so elementary, we just miss it, you know. I know lots of us we want the best physical health, so we work, and you know, I know a number of you involved in certain diets and whatnot to kind of flush your body, and that's good. You know, it's good to take care of this temple that God's given us. I would say even of more importance is some kind of program to help you ingest God's word. All that other stuff will come into place. He's so amazing. God is just so incredibly good and amazing. He knows what's best for you. He's your God. He's the king of the universe. He created you. Why wouldn't we pay attention to him? I like this quote from J.C. Ryle. The chief weapon we ought to use in resisting Satan is the Bible. Three times the great enemy offered temptations to our Lord. Three times his offer was refused with a text of Scripture as the reason. It is written. Jesus even referred to the Old Testament. Just referred. It is written. This is what God says. His way, his word, his way. You know, Caleb taught on this recently when we were going through our Knowing Jesus series, and I just want to highlight this once again. When Jesus was washing feet, we see this in John chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. Just read these verses with me, actually 12 through 15. It says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am." And he goes on to say, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." So we have this incredible example. Again, Jesus, very good at teaching his disciples. He knew how to make disciples. So the creator of the universe, the star breather, our God, is on earth, and he really wants to make a point to his disciples. So he washes their feet. And even in that culture, we don't even get it. But really, if you study it out and think about it, this was just absolutely incredibly profound that Jesus would tie just a towel around himself and he would stoop to wash their feet. It's just the humility. My goodness, we need to glean from the humility of God. The example that he gives us, it's incredible. I like this verse from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there's our example. Serve and die. God wants us to humbly know him, know his word. His way would be to serve others, to serve the body of believers, to serve one another, to serve some more, then go over there and do some serving. And when you're out in the community serving, then go over here and serve. And then when your wife irritates you, serve her. The advice I give to young men who are wise enough to ask for advice when they're about to get married, they say, one piece of advice. I remember Josh Whitney's brother Mike came to me and said, Mac, I just want one nugget that you can give me for this marriage I'm about to step into. I said, Mike, serve your wife, and you don't ever expect anything back. You serve that woman for the rest of your life. You serve her unconditionally, not expecting anything back. And boy, that'll be a good ingredient for your marriage. And there's just examples all over the place. You guys know people that get this, you know, servant's heart. You know, we're all wired differently, and we bring different things to the table. But Jesus taught us to love others, to love each other, and I think a big part of it is to be humble enough to serve each other and not expect something back. Sometimes that's hard for us. I've been doing coffee for 35 years. How can I? Or, man, I'm changing diapers in the nursery, and that really stinks. Well, yeah. But it's a good thing to do. It's a good investment of your time. And God may take that little soul one day and save them and be part of the family. And that child might bring a gift to the body of Christ that's astounding. It all fits together. It's God's intention for it. I like this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. We really are created to serve. I really think we ultimately maybe... in this, even in our little body of Christ, you might feel that at times you're kind of on the outside looking in, and it might be because you haven't stepped in to really be a part of serving the body. Sometimes it can feel like you're the last person on the sports team to be picked, you know. It's like, oh, I want to play. I want to get in. It's hard for me. Now that I'm older, it's not near as hard. But when I was younger, if someone was playing football or something, I just had to play. I just have never been good at watching, you know, other than the Broncos. I like watching the Broncos. But I just so at Thanksgiving a few years back, the guys were playing football, and they asked me if I wanted to play, and I was easily 20 years older than anybody there. It's like, yeah, put me in. And they said, well, why don't you be the quarterback and throw it all the time? Yeah, I ought to be the quarterback. I am good, you know. And then at one point they said, you want to go out for a pass? Yeah, I ought to go out for a pass. You know, I remember I was running and I was reaching for the ball, and I'm not as young as I used to be, and it's just like it's over my fingertips. It felt like slow motion, you know, and really for me it was because I'm not very fast. But I think I probably stumbled when I saw the ball, and I did an endo, and I rolled over a couple times, and you know, and I got up and went, you know, and I had to sit out kind of the rest of the game. You okay? Yeah. But it's like if you've ever had a cracked rib, I think I cracked a rib. It's like, oh. But the point I want to make is just, you know, when you're in the family, when you're part of it, that's what God created us for. And we don't step into that. It's like, oh, God. Can I get in there? What's going on over there? And you know what? That flows over into the community. That flows over into everybody you're around. Because people see, why do they like being together so much? Why do they serve each other? Why do they love each other like that? It's Jesus. It's God's at work in our lives. And you know what? That wins people to Christ. That was what won me to Christ. I was trying to figure out what to do, and I thought, well, maybe I'll find it at a church. And then I went to this little church in Loveland, Colorado, and people genuinely loved each other. And I was like, I want that for my kids. And I realized, no, I want that for me. and my kids. I want us all to be a part of what Jesus is doing. I want to learn how to genuinely love because I hadn't had it in my life. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it from this broken world. It's just like, is that love? And finally, God revealed that to me. I'm so thankful I got to be a part of it. God calls us to serve. I like this psalm. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Man, that's, I encourage you to do that. In your bulletins today, you have an opportunity. There's a sign-up sheet for child care and for all the other ministries. Now, most of you, I am preaching to the choir because you're all involved, and I thank you for that. If you're not, you have that today. Get a pen. Put your name in there. If you want to be a part of child care, we're kind of rebooting that. We're excited about that. We have some new teachers, and we're going to go from two classes to three, and God's growing that. We're getting more and more kids, and we want excellence for our kids. We want the best for them. So we want you to be, if you have kids here that are part of it, we want you to be a part of it too. We want to teach them about Jesus. We want to take care of them. And all the other ministries, that's a great way to serve one another. If you're not plugged in, I challenge you this morning because I think that's the most important send. This is send us right into loving one another and right here where God's placed you for such a time as this. Don't miss out on it. Be a part of it. But get one of those sign-up sheets if you haven't. I know most of you have, so we're encouraged by that, that we kind of have a new season. We're excited about our different ministries, and we want to do them with excellence. Why? So when people will come in, they'll see, you know what? These people really care about each other, number one. It's obvious that they love each other because they're paying attention to everything and trying to take care of each other. And they love me. When you walk into that environment, it's like the fragrance of Christ. Smells like Christ in here. That's nice. I like that. That's incredible. And draws people to himself. So we have an opportunity to do that. Some of my favorite verses come from Peter here. I think it really kind of sums up what I'm trying to say here scripturally through some verses here. But bring your gift, each one of us, you know, in our community study, in our life groups. We have a little community study that we're really talking about how the Apostle Paul talks in Corinthians to bring your gift to the body. And be a part and say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, maybe while serving, you'll see, oh, I'm pretty good at that. Oh, so that's my gifting, and God will use that. But be a part of that. In 1 Peter here, I just think enough said here. Really good. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is what a great encapsulating make disciples section of verses, I think. I think that Peter does a great job of just summing it up. Love one another by serving one another. And that's really what winning, building, sending, the mission that God's given this church, we really believe that's what that is. And just some things coming down the pike here, really for our church. I just kind of wanted to touch base on some things quickly. For Provo in 2015, these are really some things that we believe God is doing in our midst for our church for this year, so we're excited about it. Sunday mornings, all of you know, well, you're here Sunday morning, that we combined our Friday and Sunday morning church, and we're excited about that. We're excited about what God's doing here on Sunday mornings, and we're looking forward to see what he will continue to do. Want to highlight some things. When this is our church. We are the church. This is ours. This is our time. You look around and say, well, gosh, I wish it was bigger, or I wish it was smaller, or I wish it was this or that. This is what God's given us. so we receive it and be a part of what he's doing. But the church, you know, it can become an event. We don't want to be consumer Christians. Please don't be consumer Christians. You know, come to church and, well, what am I going to get, man? What are you going to give me, preacher man? It's like, well, you know, that's not it. You don't get it. You don't get it. We're all bringing something here. Come early, stay late. Pay attention. Pick up the candy wrapper behind you. You know, if someone comes into this church, you know, and they're mistreated, that's going to break my heart. Someone comes through the door there, we want them to feel like, it smells like Christ in here. You know, I've met so many people here in Provo over the last 7 years that are just starving for the love of Christ, and they've come through our door, and someone's given them that love of Christ, and God's taken them on a whole different trajectory in their life. That's what we want. When people come to this church, we want them to know that there's Christ lovers here. We not only love each other, but you're welcome into that. We love you. Life groups, that's a part of it. Again, it's not an event. It's just really the structure. It's the way that we shepherd the flock. We have three life groups. So we have 150 people, break down to three life groups. I know a lot of you haven't been able to be involved. Please get involved, because that's really the best way. Caleb and I, as your pastors, we can't minister to every one of you and come to your house and be involved in your life. But God gives us the life groups, which is three different little groups where shepherding is happening. And that's really where we help disciple and raise up the next level of leaders. That's going to happen in the life group. Plus, the life groups make us smaller. Gives us an opportunity. If your car's broken down or something happens in your life, you go to your small group leader, you go to life group leader and say, you know what, I have a need here. And your life group rallies to try to help you with that. And if it's a bigger thing, then the whole church gets communicated to. It's a communication wave to the life group. It just makes things smaller. We need to be men and women. Just pay attention to what's going on. In the gatherings, I'm just going to call it that. Gatherings are different things that you don't need an invitation to. It's just stuff that we're paying attention to, that it doesn't have structure necessarily. Some things do, but you know what's going on, the heartbeat of the church. You say, oh, there's a bunch of people over there feeding the homeless over there. They're a part of this over there. They're doing something over at the food bank. And so some people respond and are part of that. Again, a lot of that's done through the life groups. Let me break down gatherings just a little more. Things that are going to be going on for the Rock. Now, this isn't all-inclusive. We trust the Spirit could lead and things could happen, and we'll follow that. There'll be needs or different things where God might take us, where we can serve in different areas. But the first Sunday of the month, at this location, we're going to have a potluck. So we're going to have food the first Sunday of the month. Today, we'll start with the Super Bowl. Good way to kick it off, probably, at 3 o'clock. But then in March, the first Sunday in March, we'll have a potluck. And we'll all bring food and can have a meal together. Now, these aren't requirements. Say, well, I can't come the first Sunday every month. Well, you're going to wanna. Have you ever been to a church potluck? I mean, come on. So we can learn how to love each other. We can learn how to be together so we can get better at it. Because if we're not together, we're not going to get better at it. We're going to continue to have these exclusive groups that just kind of tail off, which are heartbreaking. And God wants us to be together. So there's different things we can do. The West, you know, you might say, well, I don't even know anybody up over there. So what? The bigger things we're a part of, the unity of the bigger church, we're very much a part of that church plant. There's a number of people that are helping plant this church that were here when we had our grand opening. You see, we help each other. We are a part of the bigger church, the Rock in Salt Lake and the Rock in Draper and the Rock West. So this Friday, I know my wife and I, we're going to just go up there and be with them and support them and pray. And the first church service, it's going to be awesome to see what God's doing there. You know, we can look at that and say, oh, he's doing more there than here. We can be jealous of that, or we can be a part of it because we are a part of it. So in the bigger scheme of things, you just kind of want to pay attention to the things coming down, and it would encourage you to see what God's doing as well. So I encourage you, don't miss out on things like this. Again, there's not structure around a lot of these things. I don't want to be dogmatic. Don't hear me wrong here. Boy, if you can't do it, if you got other things scheduled, I understand that. But I also encourage you to do as much as you can. Don't miss out. Be a part of what God's doing. See what that does for your faith. It'll stir you up. And art shows, I put plural there because we'll probably have more. Caleb likes to do that, and I like to see it happen too. But March 6th is the next one. So in the lobby, we've already got some artists lined up and some musicians. And that's just an opportunity, again, to outreach to our community, to let them come into our church and experience the fragrance of Christ and get different people involved. And you're going to want to be involved. You don't want to miss out. They're really cool. It's a sweet time to come and be a part of the body, what's going on. That'll be on a Friday night, so that'll be fun. ISM Outreach in March, that's International Student Ministry. So we're part of Great Commission Churches, and many of our sister churches around the world have experienced incredible fruit from reaching out to college campuses and interacting with international students. Our Fort Collins location is a fantastic example at CSU. They've had ongoing international student ministry for years and years and years and years and years, and God has used that globally. People come to know the Lord, they get raised up, they get trained, and then go back to their countries, and God can use that in incredible ways. So we want to be involved in that a little bit. We're trying to learn what that might look like. So our role this time, we're going to host a team of 10 international students from our movement of churches. They're coming here just for a few days. They'll be here. They'll be staying at some of our homes. So if you want to open up your home, come and talk to me. We'll feed them and house them, and then they'll go to UVU and do some outreach. And Chi Alpha and InterVarsity, a couple student ministries that are going on right now at UVU, we're partnering with them. We're supporting each other. We're laboring together in unity for this outreach. So we'll kind of support, bring the team in, and support their ministries because they will follow up then. They'll have ongoing Bible study or different things that they can invite these international students to that we meet. So they'll take the baton after our team leaves. And eventually, who knows, maybe some of those folks would be interested in visiting our church. We can love on them here. So that's coming down the pike. March 14th through the 19th, we have another EP release, TRM. Still keeps that thing rolling. There's always something special going on, and it's always exciting, the different things that God is doing through our music ministry. So just pay attention, be a part of it. That release will be a sweet night. It's going to be similar to the last one, which I thought was outstanding, the way it was like a festival, a celebration when the last one was released. It is written album, so Friday Night Concert Series, again, that's just something the city does. The city of Provo, they have these rooftop series where bands from all over the place play, and it's really becoming a thing. Now, we're not going to have a structured group to go there, but there are some people that have a heart for that group of people, and we're going to make a special effort to have some rockers, some of us, show up there and just be salt and light in those different areas. So it'd be just an opportunity to go enjoy some music, enjoy fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and reach out. You know, hopefully there'll be gospel opportunities we can evangelize and different things. That's just kind of an ongoing thing that some of us kind of want to participate in. I just want to welcome you into that summer camp out. We're going to do that again this year. Actually, I reserved a campsite, a sweet spot, if you will, for August 1st and 2nd. So that we won't have church that Sunday. That's actually a Saturday and a Sunday, so that's a little different. Often we've done a Friday and a Saturday night, but we're going to do a Saturday night and a Sunday night. So now you've been forewarned. August is a lot of months away, so you can prepare for that. But it's up in Midway at Wasatch Mountain Park. There's a chalet there. There's actually a building and just a softball diamond, just a sweet little grassy area that 100 of us or so could just have a sweet time. It's right near the lake. the reservoir up there. So put that on your calendar, August 1st and 2nd. And then Freedom Day's booth, we're going to attempt to get a booth again. We didn't do that last year, but we're going to attempt to get a booth again at the Freedom Festival. And at times, they've asked some of our bands to play at the stage at Freedom Fest, and we'll be praying and asking God to give us that opportunity again as well. So those are just a few things I kind of wanted to wet your whistle with of coming on. We are about growing and multiplying. Whatever God's doing, we want to plant more churches. A 2020 vision, 20 services by 2020, we still trust that's what God's given us. And between all of our locations, he's positioned the churches for growth, for more multiplication. And again, it's not man-made multiplication, it's God. As his spirit moves, we see opportunities. And we'll continue to look for opportunities here to be a part of starting more churches and more things that God is doing, that we might be a part of that. So those two essentials for making disciples: his word, his way. I think it's just really that simple. God can really help us. His word, his way. I'll end with this quote from A.W. Tozer: only a disciple can make a disciple. Are you a disciple of Christ? If you have a relationship with him, are you a disciple? Are you listening? Is he speaking to your heart? You get convicted. Do you actually do what he tells you to do? Are you growing? That's what make disciples is, a learning grower. We want to be men and women that are growing in the Lord. And I'm preaching to the choir. That's happening. I'm excited to be a part of what God's doing here in your lives. So I'm going to close with a prayer. We'll sing a couple more songs. God, I love you. I just thank you for what you're doing in our midst, in our lives, God. I thank you, and I'm excited about all that you're doing. I even think about the people that this year even, Lord, I just ask you to win more souls, that maybe more people would be a part of our church, that you'd win them to yourself, God. You'd save souls, and they'd be a part of what you're doing here. I pray all of us that know you, the believers, Lord, that we'd be growing. You would build us up. You would build our faith, Lord, to where we couldn't hardly contain ourselves because we were so in love with you, Lord, and that we might have more opportunities to send, to send people that are sanctified, that know you, that are in love with you, to do more things all over the world. God, we love you. We need you. And we just thank you for our little church, for our little body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that in your name. Amen.